Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I'm not six. I don't go to parades, okay? I'm not impressed that a bunch of people can play music and march down the street at the same time.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
It's almost like the Rose Bowl feels like it's backed into a corner a little bit, I guess. It's going to start to talk publicly to use that to gain sympathy. Got news for your Rose Bowl. Not gaining any sympathy.
And SI's Pat Forty.
I'm licking the toad. I'm down with the hallucinogenics. Give me the Frogs to win and cover and shoot blood out of their eyes if need be when cornered.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, Race for the Case, week 10. We talked about it the other day, trap week for the SEC. There's a few good games. Not a trap game everywhere, really. Alabama versus Ole Miss is, and UCLA is really, that's the that and Washington, Oregon. Those are the two ranked on ranked. TCU, obviously, Texas also. And then there's UCF, Tulane. So those are your four ranked on ranked games. Kind of like seeing Washington, Oregon, and TCU, Texas take over the primetime. Kind of, yeah. You know, just a yeah. Little bit of a shift. Georgia, Mississippi State's going to be good too at night. So good Saturday night of games. And we'll see what materializes. Other than that, Michigan, Nebraska, Ohio State's got Indiana, both at home. They've got to survive to carry on, although probably either one could use a loss and still beat the other and probably make it. So I don't know. We'll see. There's a bunch going on, but people are watching. People are watching Indeed. College football.
Imagine
that. This is the number that popped huge last week. Tennessee, Georgia, CBS, 13.06 million viewers.
Whew. Wow.
That is a huge number.
Move aside MLB and NBA.
Yeah.
Bigger than either. Later that night, game six of the World Series didn't come close. What really fascinates me on this is it was not a great game.
No.
Right.
So that's what struck me. It's one thing if you're like, hey, everyone's tuning in at the end, somebody could lose. But that ranks as an absolute monster game. Very few games. So to compare it, last year there were only two regular season games that got over 10 million viewers.
Really?
And yes, one was Michigan, Ohio State. I think the other was Alabama, Auburn, and I think that's it. It was the last week of the year.
Those were both on the same day, back to back.
Same day. Michigan, Michigan State got close, and that got 9.5. Alabama, A&M got 8.3 million. And I'm running through the weeks here. I don't believe there's another one. Oregon, Ohio State, that for early, yeah. Georgia, Clemson the first week, 8.8. So to get 13 million for a game not in primetime, wasn't competitive early. Is amazing. So like last year's Ohio State Michigan was the highest rated regular season game, as it often is, 15.8 million. And that was obviously a monumental game. The Auburn Alabama to 10.3. Now you get to Big Ten Championship and the SEC Championship, both do over 10 million every time, pretty much. And then you get to the playoffs, you get there, and the Rose Bowl usually does big numbers too. But 13.3, fourth game already. So not out of the – certainly Michigan, Ohio State is going to do 15 to 20 million. Who knows, right? That's going to be a big, big number. But that would be 5 over 2 regular season games. So people are – they're into the season. It's a fun season. The season's popping. I'm not going to get on my soapbox and remind everyone that I'm going to do it briefly. The game is not dying because of NIL and the transfer portal. In fact, it's more popular.
I knew that was coming.
I had to do it. It's like you go to the Taylor Swift show. You want her to play the hits, you know? You can't deep cut all the way. I got to be snarky. I got to be a pain in the ass. But y'all told me the sport was dying. because Jaden Daniel can now play at a really good team, and that got $7.58 million. I was told it was dying. Anyway, what's up with the TV numbers, man? Are we just getting more lazy? I mean, this is like this is a boom this year.
It is.
Yeah, a couple other interesting elements to this, I think, too, is like sometimes if you have a bad weather Saturday across the nation, people are driving in, going indoors. We've had a lot of good weather this fall. I mean, October in most of the country, you know, in November, people are choosing, even with good weather, to stay inside and watch football. I do think the elements of some fresh teams involved helps. Tennessee, with a big fan base, has been really fun. TCU doesn't have as big a fan base, but really fun to watch. Pac-12 schools that are viable. You know, I think there's several elements that factor in here to making it. And the products, it's been good. I mean, we've seen a lot of good games, a lot of exciting offenses. So it's really interesting. What are the other, this is the fifth game over 10 million this year. What are the other ones, Dan?
All right. So let's see. I'm looking back. Last week, Ohio State, Penn State did 8.2. That's a really good number. Week 8, the highest was Syracuse, Clemson at 4.7, so that was a little down. Alabama, Tennessee, 11.56 million. Man, A&M, Alabama did 7. If I change the number from 10, just because I'm lazy, it's like, you know, 1 to 10. But if I dropped it to 7, it'd be really good. Alabama, Arkansas, a lot of them are in the 5s. Let's see.
I'm sure kickoff, Georgia.
Alabama, Oregon. Texas did 10.6.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Notre Dame, Ohio State did 10.5. Mm-hmm. So there's your games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Alabama, LSU did 7.58 million. So that's a really good number. But you just, I don't know the full viewership, and I could probably have looked it up or reached out to the networks who are happy to provide that info when the ratings are up. But we just joked. We plotted the show 40 seconds before the show. So
extensive research.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, you try to explain things, and I think Pat's right in the parity right now. I mean, we maybe we'll have a playoff without Clemson and Alabama for the first time ever. And so I think the infusion of a little more parity this year has brought more eyeballs, but also how about sports gambling? I wonder how influential and impactful that is being because, you know, more states are opening up and legalizing sports gambling, and you wonder how that's impacting the viewership. I have to think there might be some effect there. And then, you know, we saw kind of a dip in viewership overall, not just college football, but in all sports during COVID. And now we're a little more removed from that and, you know, And, you know, I think it was College Game Day. Like, they've had several shows this year where it's, like, been a record since, you know, 15 years, or the highest rated since 15 years. So people are definitely gravitating right now to college football. And it's good to see. And I think attendance, even home attendance, which has been steadily declining.
It's been ticked up. Yeah.
It's ticking back up. No, barely, but it's ticking back up. So it's interesting what's happening. I think one of the big advantages that college football has over everything else is, and we may have talked about this, and it's not any secret. I think people have like tweeted about it and wrote about it in the past, is when there's bad college football on, it's still really fun and entertaining to watch. And so there's like no losing. There's no losing when you turn on college football, unless it's like a 50-point game or something.
Absolutely, the gambling it plays a role. And I would think it plays a role in the big number, but also probably, and again, I'd have to look deeper into this, but like, you know, 2.23 million watch Penn State, Indiana, you know, or 2.51 million watch, you know, Tech, TCU. I mean, that's a good game. I don't know. Some of the games that maybe you wouldn't, you wouldn't necessarily get a huge number on. But ratings up, everything's up. It's pretty interesting. And I just think once we have a playoff, it's just going to boom. There's more games that matter. And interestingly, they're doing this without Ohio State and Michigan playing really a lot of interesting games.
Yeah, true.
You know, I mean, true. Ohio State, Northwestern had 4.76 million viewers most weeks even a year ago, let alone 4 years ago, that would be the number one rated game in college football. It was third this time. Granted, there was a little bit of element that Ohio State could lose, but it was a terrible game. It was at noon. You know, like, if that's Ohio State, if Northwestern is 8-win Northwestern or 6-2 Northwestern, that's a better deal, you know? But there's just, people are into it, so that's good to see.
I mean, I certainly didn't anticipate watching any of that game, and when it was close, I found myself watching quite a bit of it. So there might have been people like me that was like, oh, wait a minute, is there a chance Northwestern could do this? Tune in.
And I think, like, you look at that Alabama-LSU game, now I got 7.5. I mean, that's probably as good of a game as you're going to have all year. At the same time, Clemson and Notre Dame are drawing 3.22 million. Mm-hmm. And that was not a close game, but it's certainly an impactful game.
Yes. Now,
those are going head to head, weren't they?
They're going head to head.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I think most people were moving back and forth. So I don't know, just interesting. Great, great year so far. And I don't think we'll get I don't know. I can't imagine a 10 million number this week, but I think we're at least getting five regular season games and maybe more that will get over 10. And that's, I think that's notable. So. We'll do
more
that.
Than the more than the average NBA finals this past year's NBA finals, more than the average viewership, but also more than the clinching game of the World Series, if you would write out last week.
Yeah,
I believe drew in the 12s, and so yeah, pretty impressive.
Yeah, with two huge markets.
Yeah,
yeah, you and know. No competing games too. No
competing like
no,
games. Huge
no
market.
Other baseball games are on.
Yeah, well, Americans love football.
They do. Breaking bet on that. College Football Inquirer sources.
But we're going to lose. It's all going to go away. We will pick all this week's games and race of the case in a few minutes. I wanted to get to a couple other stories here. The story that has been written many times was written again this week by Heather Dinich over at ESPN. What to do with the Rose Bowl. And the college football playoff seems to be one of the main sticking points. The Rose Bowl is adamant that it continues to get its January 1st, 5 p.m. Eastern time. It syncs perfectly, so the sun sets at the start of the third quarter. Of course, 5 p.m. is not an ideal time to start a game if you're trying to have three or four windows. And it wants that time exclusively, even in the years it is not hosting a playoff game. It's a mess. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Ross, what the hell is going on with the Rose Bowl? It's just, I wrote about this so many times. It's just like, is anyone just going to tell the Rose Bowl? Like, I love the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
But like,
back in July 2021, so just a month after they introduced the playoff expansion model. So 15 months ago, I wrote about how this is going to be the biggest hurdle in expansion. Like, this is going to be the biggest one. And lo and behold, 15 months later, we are still there. You know, the last couple months after meetings, three things have come up as far as hurdles right now that they haven't overcome to get this thing done early in 24, 25. One has been the calendar of games, scheduling games around the NFL and such, and holidays and graduation. All that, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I put the dates out from their meeting in Dallas. All that's pretty much done, so they kind of checked off that one. And the other two are the revenue distribution model. Haven't checked off that yet from what I understand. In bowl contracts, and commissioners have talked about this on the record, bowl contracts, the bowls are in a 12-year deal with ESPN in the CFP. All of them together, all parties of this 12-year contract that runs through the 2025 playoff. And the Bulls have to all unanimously be on board to change anything with the contract and expand before the contract ends. And so bowl contracts kept coming up, and I kept hearing that, well, of the six bowls, five of the six are fine. And so it was still one. So this shouldn't be any breaking news, but what ESPN's story did get was the Rose Bowl on the record, which was been very hard to get, something I have not been able to do. And it's almost like the Rose Bowl feels like it's backed into a corner a little bit, I guess. It's going to start to talk publicly to use that to gain sympathy. Got news for your Rose Bowl. Not gaining any sympathy at all. I don't think this is gaining sympathy at all. In fact, it's probably further irritating people in that commissioner's room. I remember talking last July.
Let me read one of the quotes.
Yeah,
Laura Farber of the committee. What we're asking for is a three-hour window every 3 years. It's basically the every once in a while it's going to happen on Jan 1. They want to play and they want to stop the sport so they can continue to have the full television window. And let's make it very clear. That's because of revenue.
Okay. Yeah.
So they act like I'll read the whole quote and then I'll rip it apart. Sorry, Laura. If you think about that in the big picture, it's not a big ask. January 1 is an important part of the Tournament of Roses New Year's celebration. We believe that fans will expect to see that and want to see that. You start out with the Rose Parade. Then on the same day, you have the Rose Bowl game to celebrate the start of the new year. It's not only tradition, it's part of the brand and who we are and what we've built since 1903. Okay. It's great for all the people that go to the parade in Pasadena. Maybe even the ones that watch on TV who like watching the parade. I don't care. You can still have your parade. You can also play your football game anytime you want. You just won't get, as I said earlier, the 16 million people watching because you're the only thing on television on New Year's Day afternoon. So you get a huge television audience because there's all sorts of people sitting around New Year's Day going, what are we going to watch? Rose Bowl. I love it. It's great. It is a great tradition. But no one is telling you you can't run a game. They're just telling you you're going to make less money off it.
Right.
2 p.m. is not the right time. Why are we dealing with these bowls at all? The other ones at least are like, holy crap, we better bend over backwards or they're going to cut us out like they should. These guys, high maintenance. The high maintenance Rose Bowl. Come on.
Extremely high maintenance.
Laura, I don't care about your little flower parade. What are these? Who is? Come on! This is. No, I'm still employing parade. Ari Fleischer. Now you set me off, Ross. Yeah.
I was waiting for the volcano to erupt, and I was hoping
it would
erupt.
I can't deal with it. This is stupid. What am I reading? What am I reading? You're telling me these commissioners, esteemed leaders of college athletics, are sitting around going, I got to deal with this. Well, we got this parade. And in 1903, it's great. 1903, you had a horse-drawn carriage. Trying to run a multi-billion dollar operation here.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Yeah. All right.
That's well,
help me. Help me, Pat. Help me.
I've been to the parade. I've attended the Tournament of Roses parade.
How was it?
It was fine. You know, I mean, it was like whatever. Okay.
Glowing rave
for like
review.
6 year olds.
It was New Year's morning. I was hungover. It's like, okay, cool. Where's the Bloody Mary? You know, let's just move on. That was when I attended the Rose Bowl as a fan, too. And it was awesome. But you could have played it at 2, it would have been awesome. You could have played it at 7, it would have been awesome. It would be awesome anytime. Now, yes,
the sunset can set in the middle of the second quarter or the fourth quarter. It doesn't matter.
It can.
Sunset is holding this thing up.
Yeah.
Tradition, yeah. Dan. Tradition.
And this woman. What? What are we doing?
We're willing to work with the playoff. Oh, not really. Not very much.
No.
And remember, this is not the first time, right? Obviously, you know, the Rose Bowl did its deal during the BCS, right? And flustered everybody. And then again at the beginning of the CFP, I believe. Kind of, you know, they had their separate contracts, I believe, right, with ESPN or in the Big Ten and Pac-12. Like, they kind of do their own thing. And this, you know, I think everybody saw this coming last year, this was going to be a problem. And here's what the Rose Bowl wants, from what I understand, and I think Heather wrote a little bit about this, but I'd heard it a couple weeks ago, is they're trying to get on board with the CFP in the 2026 and beyond, the new contract, whenever the new playoff gets organized and agreed upon. And so they're using 2024. They're holding out as a bargaining, as a chip, to get involved, to be involved with 2026 and beyond. Here's the thing. If I'm a commissioner in that room, and I think some of them feel this way, it's, you know what? If we don't expand early in 2024 and 2025, number one, we're going to blame you, right? We're going to put it out publicly. It's because of you that we're not doing this. It's your fault. Number two, you are not getting involved in 2026 and beyond. You will not be part of our new playoff. That's what I'm doing.
Back when we wrote The Death of the BCS, our solution to the Rose Bowl was to give them the national championship game every year. Mm. Just make it Rose Bowl hosts the national title game every year, the way Omaha hosts the baseball world. So it's great building. LA, the weather's going to be deep, right? It's got a lot of advantages. You're not moving around, and it's a great thing. And I got pushback from the Rose Bowl then, not Laura. I don't know Laura. I'm sure she's great, but they're like, well, and I'm like, first of all, it's a stupid proposal by me that no one listened to, clearly. But like, if somebody hands you the second biggest sporting event of the year, other than the Super Bowl, every single year.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, but it's not going to be the same day as the parade. I'm not six. I don't go to parades, okay? I'm not impressed that a bunch of people can play music and march down the street at the same time. I don't need to see SpongeBob.
Surrounded by flowers.
The floats are very nice,
Dan. They take a lot of work.
I'm sure they do. Oh, my God. How'd they blow up that thing? Oh, my goodness. They made this truck look like a flower. Okay. It's not 1903, man.
No, it's not. And here's the reminder that the Rose Bowl folks perhaps might need. I'll ask you guys, what is the greatest Rose Bowl game you have ever seen?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was USC Texas, and it was played on January 4th, not January 1st. And it kicked off at night, and we didn't have a sunset.
It was a double Rose Bowl, wasn't it?
Awesome.
Didn't they double host, right?
There was a double host.
I don't think they did, because this was, it was January 4th.
Maybe that's the year they didn't do that. Yeah, maybe that's, year. I think that's right. It's the 1 year that didn't happen. And that's what they want to do. You know, that's what they're fighting for here in the new contract. They want to... And again, it's just like, Dan, when the reaction from them when you propose they host the national championship every year, which you would think any bowl would be like, yes, bring it, yes.
Are you
the reaction
city?
To them was, eh, I don't know. And this is the reaction that the CFP is getting because they're in, you know, they're host semi, they would host a semifinal and quarterfinals in a rotation. Who wouldn't want to host semifinals and quarterfinals? Everybody would want to host semifinal and quarterfinal, right? Liberty Bowl, like the Citrus Bowl. I mean, everybody wants to be involved in that. They're scratching and clawing to be involved in hosting a playoff game. And what does the Rose Bowl want? One out of every 3 years, I believe, right? They want to host the fourth best Big Ten team and the third best Pac-12 team in a game on January 1. It defies logic.
And have everybody stop playing.
That's right.
For their five-hour window.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we can show, you know,
so
Minnesota
we can show them,
against Arizona State.
Yeah.
It's so ludicrous that they've enabled these guys. I don't even know what to say about this. Cut them out then. I'd hate to see it. But if literally trying to give someone the Super Bowl, the mini Super Bowl, every single year, and they're like, oh, no, that's just not. We got to have more. Who the hell are these people? Go stage your own game down at SoFi Stadium. You're out.
35.6 million people viewed the Texas-USC game that was not on January 1st and that was not played with the sunset as a factor. By
the way. The stupid sunset. This sport is unbelievable. All right. Speaking of unbelievable, we got Mike Leach. I have questions, Ross, about Mississippi State. So, you know, they almost kicked away the game to Auburn last weekend. Now they get Georgia this week. So maybe this is a motivational ploy. I don't know. But one of the great the classic lines of the year. Now we saw him folding up the little chairs that the wide receivers were supposed to sit on because he didn't believe they hadn't earned the right to sit on a little chair.
Classic.
He was very mad. That was a great scene. Just went over. There were a bunch of folding chairs where the wide receivers were supposed to meet on the sideline. He just folded them up and threw them down.
And he did it so orderly. He did it so orderly, yeah, right in the middle of the game. Slowly, like, folding them up, placing them on the ground instead of, like, knocking them over. You know,
he quietly. He did it like a janitor, you know, taking care of an assembly.
Yes.
Like, after the assembly. Then later he declared about the players. He was very mad about the players. He said, instead of playing hard, you want to sit behind a shade tree, eat a fish sandwich, and drink a lemonade with your fat little girlfriend.
Also, that sounds terrible. Lemonade out in the sun, even if you've got a tree, hot, you're eating a fish sandwich with lemonade. That sounds terrible.
I don't think that Mike Leach, of all people, should be doing any body shaming or making physical appearance jokes about the player's girlfriend. He's used the fat little girlfriend line back, I think, at Tech.
Yeah, he's used that before.
Apparently, Washington State, they're all in, they're tall or something. I don't know what. Not fat little girlfriends. A couple questions. One, what's up with that? And B, where do you get the fish sandwich? Is that
McDonald's?
Like Harvey's? Mixed what's fish? That? Harvey's downtown? Is that a big place? Right? I remember that.
Harvey's. Oh, yeah. Harvey's in Starkville. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be the McFish sandwich.
Is it the Arby's? That's true. Do we get Pusha T? Is he around?
Yeah, we might need to consult Pusha T here. Which fish sandwich the soft, lazy Mississippi State receivers should be eating.
I tell you what, if I had to guess what he's citing, he's probably not even citing anywhere in Starkville. He's probably citing some Key West meal of a hogfish sandwich down there in the Keys.
True. That's his hangout.
Yeah, where he spends about 3 months a year. Yeah.
I mean, a fish sandwich. It's out of nowhere, the fish sandwich.
The fish sandwich dragged into this.
I know. What did the fish sandwich do? Taking a stray.
I'm uncertain.
But that's, you know what? Look, one of the reasons we keep Mike Leach around is to see what ridiculous thing's going to come out of his mouth about five times a year. Something. He's coming up with something.
Also, Pat, I believe you were informed of some, you know, my horned frog get high licking the frog might have been lacking in some facts or something. Who knows? Maybe not. Maybe I'm not the best expert on frog life. I don't know. But Pat, you have gotten some, apparently.
I have gotten some
criticism,
feedback. Yeah. Since we did go down a Sonoran desert toad poisonous hallucinogenic I would say rabbit hole, but let's just call it a frog hole, toad hole. And so now, yes, I have information, fun facts on the horned frog. So here we go. Horned frogs, which are actually horned lizards, are endearing to Texans, but they are also a threatened species. It's only natural that a scientist from TCU would be the one spearheading an effort to help save them. And then we got some information about him, but here's your fun facts. TCU was named the horned frogs because, legend has it, the football field was covered with horned frogs and the players would, quote, practice, end quote, with them. I don't know why that's in quotes. I don't know what that means. Does that mean they would stomp on them or something else? Now, here is your best fun fact. The horned lizard can shoot blood up to 5 feet out of its eyes as a defense mechanism. That is awesome.
I heard about that.
Yeah. If you're a susceptible little amphibian or whatever the heck they would be, I guess, reptile out there in the desert, being able to shoot blood 5 feet out of your eyes is pretty cool. Let's see. That doesn't matter. Horned frogs' unique camouflage has been used by the U.S. military, and they're called horned frogs because their body shape makes them look more like frogs than lizards. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Wow. Very good. Very good.
It's a great mascot.
Yeah, I love different kind of unique mascots, and that's one of them. I love it. I'm a fan.
Also, this week, this is not a game this week, but it was announced this week. UAB and Memphis in the American is now going to become a permanent rivalry.
Mm.
and that is the Battle of the Bones.
Yes.
They have the rib challenge, the rib trophy, the Battle of the Bones. It's going to be now the AAC's got to move. So they're going to play every year. They didn't play this year. Just quickly, I repeat my appeal, my begging that each school is required to send at least one restaurant to home and away to have a cook-off in rival sidelines. And then the winner gets real ribs.
Mm. It'd be fantastic.
Yes. Birmingham, all right, please do this. Fine, get a smoker down in the stadium and let's go.
Dreamland versus Rendezvous or
whatever. It's a
or County Line or whatever.
Yes.
Yep.
Interstate. It's so many good places.
Yeah,
so
interstate.
Don't just have the rib trophy's fantastic, but this is your chance, AAC.
Yeah, come on. Let's play this thing up.
Dan, I've got a weird story for you that just popped up. I know you love weird stories. I have to quickly read this one. A 23-year-old man was arrested in England for throwing eggs at King Charles. And the man's punishment, and this sounds like something from, you know, the 1400s. The man's punishment for throwing eggs is he is banned from carrying eggs in public. That's the punishment. He can no longer carry eggs in public. I thought this was fake. I'm reading it. It's real. It's incredible.
Is it in the Daily Mail?
Is this our friend?
It's the Mirror. The Mirror. UK.
It's a rival.
Unbelievable.
It's a rival.
He can no longer carry eggs. What a shame that is, man.
That's the punishment.
Like, yes. So if you're this dude and you need to go to the grocery store and buy eggs, do you risk it? You put them in a paper bag so nobody can see that you have them? Or do you have somebody else carry them for you or DoorDash them for you?
All the eggs he threw at the king, by the way, all of them missed.
Oh, is he an Iowa quarterback?
Yeah.
Eggs don't hit people. People throw eggs that hit people. So this is it's a proxy for the gun control debate. Yeah, I don't know. That's a great punishment. Except, like, I mean, you really have to have an alert police officer to know that's the guy.
Oh, that's right? The guy. And he's carrying eggs. Arrest him.
Right. If you're just driving, if you're just the police officer in London or wherever this guy is, I'd like to think of all of England as just one city. And you just see a random guy walking down. He's got got his little grocery sack and there's some eggs sticking out. You don't just naturally, I mean, this could lead to stop and frisk all over the place.
Absolutely.
Set an egg in your pocket.
This could be a real problem for him at Easter, you know?
Oh boy.
Right? This could be an issue. People, I mean,
that's a great punishment. It'll stop it. Yeah, if he follows it, he will indeed not be able to throw eggs at anyone unless he's got an accomplice. All right, let's...
British Easter eggs. I just found them. Hey, yeah, so you're right.
They exist?
Well, 10 British Easter eggs. Top 10 British Easter eggs from BritishCornershop.co.
There you go. How about a proper English breakfast? Can't even do that.
No.
Kind of a weird thing. All right, let's pick some games. We're
all right.
Okay. Yeah,
we're deep off the thing. As it tends to happen on the Race of the Case. Number 7, LSU at Arkansas. High noon, ESPN, 11 a.m. Central. LSU is giving 3 points. Pat, what's going to happen?
Oh, I'm so tempted to pick Arkansas here just because it all sets up well for them. You know, we've gone through it. We went through it Tuesday. Mm. They tend to have tough games there at Arkansas. Arkansas has a chance to really help make a disappointing season, and you can ruin LSU season. LSU is going to be on a little hangover probably, but I'm not. I'm taking LSU, and I'm laying the small number because what is Brian Kelly's MO? He beats the teams he should beat. That's what he always did at Notre Dame. They don't just flop in games against underdogs. So I am going to say that Brian Kelly gets them back up. Back going, and they are just enough to beat the Hogs in Fayetteville.
Man, I'm saying I'm tempted. We talked about it earlier in the week. The early kick at 11 a.m. supposed to be like in the 30s. The temperature. Arkansas's mad after the Liberty game. You know, LSU's coming after a physical battle. I'm really tempted to pick the Hogs. I'm not as well. I'm going to go with LSU, but have a little faith.
I think I'm going to go with Arkansas just because the season's been chaotic enough that I want to see how far off the rails we can get in the SEC. So I'm going to take Arkansas to cover and just give us a nice little shakeup going into week 12.
There we go. I'm sticking with LSU. I was with Pat on this one, Brian Kelly corollary. They got too much to play for. They're playing really well too. And Arkansas really isn't. So I'm going to take LSU on this. It's a little dicey, though. The weather does not help. I would wait until about 10:55 Central Time to check on that one. Number 22, UCF at number 17, Tulane. Tulane's giving 1.5 games at 3:30 on ESPN2. Ross, who you got? Huge game in the AAC we were just talking about.
Yeah, couple days this past week at Tulane. I'm from about an hour down the coast of New Orleans, so I'm at Granny's house right now. And because I'm at Granny's house, we have Mardi Gras stuff here, and that includes this headdress.
Oh,
so happy Mardi Gras! And
I'm not throwing beads to you. I am not throwing any beads at you.
Unfortunately, despite the headdress in Tulane and Mardi Gras and all that good stuff, I'm picking UCF to cover. Give me the Gus Bus. Not so fast, my friend.
The number's small. 1.5, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
1.5.
And who's favored?
Tulane.
It switched.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the other way.
Thanks for putting a lot of prep thought into this. Yeah. I appreciate it. So great show. Great show.
We're very prepared.
We're on top
we?
Of it. Oh, yeah. just give me Tulane. Big moment. Not sure they're as good as UCF, but I can see them rising to the occasion here. You know, they're on a hot streak. Won, what, 5 in a row against decent competition. So UCF comes in. I think Tulane keeps it rolling, keeps it on high, and the state of Louisiana has another big weekend with LSU and Tulane winning and covering.
This game's a mess. I can't base everything off Tulane beating ECU 24-9 and UCF losing to ECU 34-13. Who could base it all off of that? But UCF also beat Cincinnati. I'm going with the Green Wave because they were my lock of the week last week and they paid off. So I got to maybe try to ride the hot hand there. So I'll take Tulane.
Imagine one of these playoff, if we had the 12-team playoff, if something like Tulane played LSU somehow.
Oh my God.
That'd be so awesome. Bro.
Cotton Bowl.
Little brother gets a crack. Like, oh my goodness.
Yep.
You know, and it could certainly happen. I mean, if LSU was 5 and 1 year or 12 or something like that. And God forbid somehow it got reversed and like LSU had to come to Tulane.
Oh,
be so wild. Anyway, I'm taking Tulane. Dream season continues down there in New Orleans. I think I like their offense.
It's Ross's like lone Michael citronaut Pratt. There, right?
I know. Yeah. I'm going to be at the game. They're going to throw eggs at me.
I don't like picking against UCF. Yeah, you could be the egg guy. All right, number 9 Alabama at number 11 Ole Miss, 3:30 CBS. Very interesting game. We talked a lot about it earlier in the week. If you want to go back and listen, tied 12-point favorites. Pat, who you got?
Yeah, one of the big reasons our records suck this year is because we have not figured out Alabama, how to bet Alabama. And I am going to take Mississippi and the points. It's a pretty big number. Mississippi is at home. Mississippi is coming off an open date. Mississippi's had 2 weeks to prepare. We know how much Lane Kiffin wants to beat Nick Saban. So he's put a lot of eggs into this game, into this basket, speaking of eggs and throwing them and et cetera. Right. Alabama coming off the LSU game has been a bad road team, flat out bad road team this year. Sloppy. Not forcing turnovers, not stopping the run. And that's Alabama's given up more than 180 yards rushing in all three of their SEC road games. Mississippi is the best rushing team in the SEC. If Ole Miss can run the ball, they not only can cover, they could perhaps win, but I definitely like them to cover.
Yeah, every Alabama line this year has been like, what? Like, I can't, you know, and I saw this one, it's like, huh? Like, they're, I think they opened at like 11.5-point favorites at Ole Miss after, you know, losing two games this year and almost losing two more. Like, give me the Rebels to cover at home and maybe win. I ended up picking Alabama straight up to win in our other picks, but I very much think that Ole Miss can pull this off, but they certainly can cover the 12.
I think Lane's going to try to dial it up big time versus Alabama. I think the students are going to show out. They're going to be rowdy at home. But I don't think Saban's going to not cover in this game. I think the Bear has been poked too much this year. I think he desperately does not want to have three losses on his record going into next year. So I have Alabama covering. I think it's going to look a lot like that LSU-Ole Miss game where Alabama is just going to just work their magic and cover and score and just beat them.
I'm taking Bama. I can't. I got them wrong every week on Bama, but you guys were wrong every week on Bama too, and you went the other way. I don't think they lose a third time. I think they're better than Ole Miss. I think they've lost two tough games. I'm fine with it. I think
they may not lose, but can they cover? Can they cover a double digit number?
Mm-hmm. God, it's a big number. I hate betting on Alabama, but I'm taking them. I hate betting the Bama games. I don't care. Taking Bama. All right. Number 25, Washington at number 6, Oregon Ducks. Ducks giving 13.5, 7 p.m., Fox, Ross, what's happening?
Oof, big line, 13.5, but Oregon, rightfully so, has played well enough to, I guess, warrant that line. They've just been on a pretty good tear since losing to Georgia by 46 points. I don't remember a team that's been in contention for the playoff this late in the year having a loss like it has on the schedule. Also, Oregon has covered pretty phenomenally this year, except for that first game. So I think Oregon covers again. 13.5. Give me the Ducks to cover it.
Yep, I'm with you. I am definitely on the Duck train on this, where I just think that they are rolling at a really high level. Their offense is just flowing right now. Bo Nix is playing great. Kenny Dillingham's dialing it up well. And I think that the Washington defense is gettable. It's a pretty good defense, but it's gettable, especially by a high functioning offense. So I would say Ducks by 14 at least.
Maybe all Bo Nix ever really needed was a little bit of time in the pocket. And he's showing that this year. Additionally, Oregon is a team that I don't see a lot of other teams in the nation have this trait where at any point in the game, they can flip the switch and go up 21 on you and just turn on the jets and pull away. So I think Oregon, even if it's tight in the first half, second half, they'll stop playing around and then they'll go out and cover. So I'm taking the Ducks.
Ducks offense is crazy. 13.5 doesn't scare me. I'll take them to cover. All right. Finally, number 4, TCU at number 18, Texas. Longhorns are the favorites, 7 points. Game is at 7:30 on ABC. I think we go back to Pat on this.
Yeah, this, I mean, in one respect, I'm sitting there saying, and I've looked at this a fair amount this week, that TCU is being wildly disrespected. And I think I would still stand with that. But statistically, Texas looks very much up for the challenge. Still, I'm not laying 7 against the Hypnotoads. I'm licking the toad. I'm down with the hallucinogenics. Give me the Frogs to win and cover and shoot blood out of their eyes if need be when cornered.
I think for the last 5 weeks or for the last 5 weeks, I've picked TCU to lose. I just keep kind of waiting for it to happen, waiting for them to not mount their incredible comeback. And they continue to prove me wrong. And they'll have to do it again. I think Texas wins the game in covers the 7. Give me the Longhorns in the Gary Patterson Bowl.
I was talking with a TCU fan yesterday, and he was a little up in arms about Bijan Robinson getting so much love and not Kendre Miller in the national landscape, but I had to inform him, well, that's because Max Duggan is playing out of his mind this year with 24 touchdowns and 2 picks.
Good point.
If your quarterback is going off all year, that's why your running back's going to get less of a less shine. I think Ewers might have a couple turnovers in this game. I believe that TCU is going to cover. I think TCU might win this joker also. So I'm going with the Horned Frogs.
Win with Quinn. Texas is going to take a huge lead early like they normally do. Then they're going to almost blow the game. And then Texas is going to win. They'll cover at the end. Texas is a better team than TCU right now. So great story on the Frogs, though.
I would, yeah. See?
So I'm taking
the blood shooting Frogs. I will also say, if this does come down to like a turnover situation, Max Duggan's thrown one interception for every 122 passes he's thrown this year. Win with Quinn has thrown one for every 35. So I'll take ball security, baby.
Yeah. Win with Quinn. Also, the old Vegas adage, when the lower-ranked team is a significant favorite, they win. So I'm going with that one. All right, locks of the week. Who's got one? Anyone do any research?
Yeah, I got one.
I am prepared. Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, give me I think I've taken West Virginia earlier this year as one of my locks, and they did not cover. I'm going to try again. They're at home to Oklahoma. Mountaineers are an 8-point underdog to a Sooners team that's really struggled this year. It's a huge game for Neil Brown. Every game, it seems like this year has been a big game for Neil Brown and his future, and this is another one. I think at home they get it done, and they cover the 8. So give me the Mountaineers to hold serve and maybe win that game.
Certified lock.
All right, I am going to go to the late night and see if any of the degenerates in the listenership want to hang out with me for the 10:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff, Boise State at Nevada. I took somebody's pick. Boise is laying 20.5. It's a big number on the road, but Nevada's horrible. And Boise State has absolutely flipped the switch. I mean, after a bad start, they have played extremely well and once again look like the class of that league. They reeled off 4 straight Mountain West wins. Only one of them was even close. They did lose last week to BYU. I am undeterred. Nevada has not won since September 3rd. They played the week 0 and they won, and they played week 1 and they won, and they were plus 9 turnovers in those games. And unless they're getting turnovers, they're winless. So I think Boise State jumps on them and stays on them and covers a large number, 20.5 in Reno.
Certified lock.
I'm going to go out west this week for a 9:30 p.m. kick. USC laying 34 versus Colorado. This is the biggest spread I believe I've taken so far this year. Colorado's given up. I had their last win was October 15th versus Cal. This is a team that is not ready to go out and really compete with USC. USC still has a lot to play for this year. They are not notable for covering against really lower level Pac-12 teams. But I think they try to make a statement in the final quartile of the season and go up big against Colorado. So I'm taking the Trojans.
Certified lock.
Yeah, that could happen.
I'm angry with Pat. I'm angry with Pat.
Stole Wetzel's pick.
Got him.
I am going to take, I'm going to stay there, and I am going to set up a monstrous Mountain West game between Wyoming and Boise next week. Both teams kind of coming off the mat and doing good things. Wyoming is at Colorado State. They're giving 9 points. Wyoming has gotten its act together in a big way. They're on a 3-game winning streak. Andrew Peasley, their quarterback. Titus Swen does a good job rushing. They got a whole thing. Their defense is pretty good. I'm gonna go with it, mainly because Colorado State is just awful. And so I am going to take Wyoming on the road, giving 9. I think they're going to win this game by a couple touchdowns. Very focused on a huge showdown with Boise State next week.
Certified lock.
There we go. That is a big rivalry. Big rivalry, Wyoming and Colorado State. There was once when
I was... right? Don't they play for a boot?
Yeah. Once when I was a kid, Wyoming's team ran down through the stands at Colorado State, and they had a brawl before the game, so... Get after a little.
Well, it's only one way to run down. It's a problem. The Border War. What do they get? Do they get a boot for this thing? It's called the Border War.
Yeah. Is it a boot?
Two campuses are 65 miles apart on Route 287.
Yep.
Made that drive. The Bronze Boot.
Bronze Boot. There you go.
Yeah.
I drove that 287 over the summer. A lot of antelope, not a lot of people.
The Bronze Boot. It was worn by a Vietnam War captain back in the, so now they play for the Bronze Boot. All right. Well, I'm taking Wyoming in the Bronze Boot. They've done pick. Done a good job getting this thing going, and they lost like everybody in a on the transfer portal.
Yeah,
and yeah, there was some kind of doubts, but Craig Bohl is a good football coach, man. He is a good football coach, and so I got them, and then I'm looking forward to the big match next week.
Yeah,
and then that's what we got. That's our show. Not bad. I got one thing here to bring up. I guess I'll bring this up briefly. So the World Cup is coming up in Qatar.
Yep.
You don't want to be there if you like to have a cocktail. Alcohol is like banned in the country or something, but they're making some exceptions. But beers at hotels, according to the Daily Mail, will run you, of course they did it in British pounds, but I did the conversion, $15 to $20 a beer.
Ooh. Sounds like that's a tough expense stadium.
Report. Yeah, that's the cheapest. And in some places, like the Champions Bar at the Doha Marriott, can get up during certain games, including the final, could be $80 a beer.
Oh, come on.
You have to buy like a package and you get three drinks.
Wow.
Is it worth it, Pat? Is it worth it?
Well, always. Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to have a beer.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, I mean, you remember when we were in Tokyo in the depths of COVID covering the Olympics, by golly, at least I had a 7-Eleven next to the hotel where I could get two beers and some ham at night and some crackers.
Some ham.
That was my only solace for like 2 weeks.
It wasn't, awesome. Didn't it cost that much, you know, reasonably priced there at the 7-Elevens of
well,
of
yeah, Tokyo. Yeah, no, I mean, considering Tokyo prices, not bad.
Was it so, real you know, ham you gotta do what or you gotta was it? Do. Impossible ham and
oh, you didn't know. God, don't bring it up. I've been hearing from so many people about that story. I regret telling it.
It's okay to share. It's okay to share.
It is.
We're all family here.
We can be vulnerable to each other.
Well,
here.
Somebody sent me a picture of some impossible sausage in.
Yeah, I saw that. That was gross.
Yeah, yeah. It looked kind of similar to something else. Yeah. So,
that was gross. Yeah, I don't. That was weird. That was weird. Let's leave it at that.
All right.
Whatever the heck you're eating. Don't. You're going to Qatar. I don't know what. You know? A lot of stay here and watch college football. Much cheaper beer. Yes. We'll be back Sunday to break down all of the action. Continue to share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. Subscribe. Leave us nice reviews. And we will talk to you later.